morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact myself, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you?
Busy.
Busy? Seems to be the theme right now. Seems like there's a lot of business going on everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Tri-City American's back underway. And
oh, that is what's keeping you busy. Oh, yeah. Full swing hockey season for sure. Back at it. All right, and we have with us in the studio also, we'll say hello to our resident insurance expert, Mr. Joe Peterson. Joe, how are you?
I am very well. Thank you, Lance.
Well, we always like to start out with a national news story, what's going on affecting real estate nationally that sometimes carries over to our local market. Mm-hmm. And once again, just a recurring theme that none of us thought was possible, but it seems to be like it is. They've been up and down. The 30-year fixed mortgage rates hit yet another record low. I mean, it's just insane. So Zillow Mortgage Marketplace was reporting rates hovering right around 3.18%, so down from 3.34% at the same time the previous week. This represents the lowest reported rate since Zillow started tracking in 2008. So it's just absolutely insane. There was a significant drop as news came out of the Fed that the Federal Reserve's decision to offer a new round of stimulus. They've made a commitment to keep the federal funds rate close to zero into the middle of 2015, and that's also affected the rates and kept them extremely low. We might see rates rise up slightly as there's a rush of applications for people to refinance in these dips. But once again, record lows. Article goes on to quote that the 15-year fixed mortgage rate was hovering around 2.59 and then a 5-1 ARM at 2.43.
Wow.
It's just, Joe's over here shaking his head. None of us, none of us could have foreseen this, two or three years ago and just, always jamming and excited and talking about rates in the sixes. I remember when we started the radio show. And we were just fat and happy at 6%, just loving life, and we've just continually over the years seen that drop.
So. You were getting excited when it hit 5.
We were,
doing cartwheels.
We were doing cartwheels. It was hard to keep us in the studio. So I think
I was smiling. I was smiling because I refinanced 5 times last week. And I might have to do it again.
Yeah, there has definitely been a lot of refinance going on. Definitely, if you have not done that and considered if there's anybody left out there that has not refied, you might want to look into it if you're in a position to do that because, the rates now are close enough to zero that we can just wait, sit back and wait, and some of the rates are at zero, so... Definitely driving the market, making the homes more affordable than probably they've ever been. We are helping a lot of buyers take advantage of these low rates. And as I've been at closings the last couple weeks and I see the payment that the borrower is paying and stuff, I've just been shaking my head. And, the buyers are asking me, why are you laughing? And I look at the payments that they're paid. It is somewhat humorous to me how amazingly affordable these homes are now. So that is definitely our national story affecting local rates. We do always like to, I like to call it our celebrity housing story or maybe our $1 million listing story. And it looks like P. Diddy has put his New York City New York apartment on the market for $8.5 million. Now, it was a 3-bedroom apartment, but he has since done away with that, made it into an entertainer's dream with just 1 bedroom, added a huge piano room and a huge media room.
Wow.
So your 1-bedroom apartment for $8.5 million. It looks like he bought it before the renovations in 2005 for $3.82 million. So that will get you 2,292 square feet. A little different for sure. Well, one of the reasons we have Joe on the radio show here with the Joe Peterson Insurance Agency to talk about liability that happens when you list your home. It's something nobody likes to think about until there's a problem. But over hundreds of transactions, we see the need for this, and these items pop up. And so one of the things that's even written and pre-printed on our forms is the fact that when you list your home, you are encouraged to contact your insurance agent, your homeowner's insurance agent, and ask them if there's any changes or tweaks or things you need to do to your policy to make sure you're covered. So, Joe, I guess one of the things would be is what happens when you get a call like that? I mean, every time we list a home, we're telling somebody to do that. What are some of the things you're looking for when you get that call?
Well, it doesn't happen enough. Not a lot of people take that part of the transaction seriously, but it is important, and I think we may have later on a couple of examples. But essentially, when you put your house up for sale, you're going to have people walking through it, and your incidents for somebody getting injured and suing you, and incidents of theft, or especially in this technological age, even maybe things that they don't even physically take out, but they may take information out. Maybe they see a social security number written down on a piece of paper in the house. So there's just all kinds of things to think about, and sure, they don't happen daily, but they happen enough. And so it's important to make sure that you have enough liability coverage to cover your assets if somebody does fall down your basement steps that don't have railings on it and land on down there and then go, oh, you didn't put a railing up, and I'm suing. So hard to say who would lose in that. It depends on a lot of factors, but there's a lot to think about.
There is definitely a lot to think about. And you're right. Anytime there is more people coming through a home, you're going to have increased liability. So you definitely want to have that conversation with your real estate agent. After you have it with your real estate agent, you want to have that conversation with your insurance agent and see what adjustments you might want to make why the house is listed. Now, talk to me about the dreaded vacancy clause.
So I was just going to say.
It gets even a little more dicey from our understanding of you insurance agents do not like vacant homes. How does that work?
I don't like them because it means I may be losing a customer that's moving to California or something. However, it's the insurance companies, it's not their money. Most of them are mutual, and it's a pooling of money, and they just administer the payments and the risk. However, they have underwriters, and that's their job. And when you have a home that isn't being lived in, the instance, especially around here in the wintertime, of maybe the heat not being turned up enough and pipes breaking when it thaws out. And we have paid out at my agency, we probably pay $2 to $3 million, whatever, real small, in claims a year indirectly out of our business. And at least 60% of that money is going out for water damage. It's not their typical fire or big theft. It's water. And it comes a lot of times from frozen pipes or just disrepair of the property because it's been sitting a long time. Not a house that you would probably put on the market, Lance, but, one of those ugly ones.
Well, there's all types, and we list all types, and that is a great example that you just gave. And as we start to get closer to next month is October, that's when we're going to get our first frost, and we're going to start getting another 45 days, and we're out into thinking about things like that and pipes. And I've been to a home before and that we have had listed, and we had the heat on. We were doing weekly checks of the home, but heating systems do tend to, they malfunction at times. And so there was a home a couple of years back that had some water pipes that actually ran up across the ceiling. And what had happened is the heat breaker, the breaker got too hot, kicked off the heating system in the house, And it was one of those instances where it was down in the 20s, and that pipe in the ceiling broke, and then water filled from the ceiling, filled the flooring of the inside of the house, and eventually got to the crawl space and filled the crawl space up with water.
Mm.
It was a major, major restoration.
Yeah, I had one in Hanson Park, a really nice home, probably in the $500,000 range, a year ago, that had over $100,000 worth of damage. And it wasn't due to the quote, bad economy or anything. It was due to a divorce situation, and both parties moved out. They decided not to run the heater, save on the money. And in that case, it was technically vacant. However, there is also a clause in the insurance clause that protects the lien holder, and so it usually goes for around 6 months. And
gotcha.
So there was a payment made on that, and that one was rather large.
So those are one of the things you want to look out for. If you get in that situation, you want to be one of those folks that have called your insurance company, that have notified them that the house was vacant, so that they knew about that, and can document that, so that if something does happen and it comes back, you're, as a homeowner, are covered because you've notified your insurance company.
Let me speak to the word vacant for a minute, too. It isn't a very well-defined word as far as in the insurance world anywhere. So it does matter the attitude that the companies take, and that's why you want to – I know I've represented PEMCO for a long time, and they have a very liberal look at what vacant is. And if you leave a chair or a couch in the house and leave the electricity and heat on in the property, they're not going to consider that vacant even though you're moving to another property. So they're happy to pay a claim if it happens, as long as you've taken prudent care, make the house look lived in. So others may not look at it as much, and they have a different view of what vacant means. So important to check with your agent. If you don't have one, give my team a call. But if you can call your agent, they should be able to tell you how the company they've placed you with views vacant and what you can do about it in between homes.
Joe, those are great, great points.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you speaking to that. Another important topic that we're going to get to today, our main real estate topic that we wanted to go over, we're going to go over after the break in depth and talk about the inspection contingency to a purchase and sale agreement, exactly how that's worded, what the rights are of buyers that use the standard inspection contingency form that we use, and then how sellers can respond to buyers' requests for repairs if they're even made in the first place as far as a request. So we're going to go over that in depth after the break. And Joe, before we let you get out of here, I know you're a busy guy. What's the best way for people to contact you?
Go to my recently updated webpage at joepetersoninsurance.com. You can even get quotes on there now. That's kind of cool. And I think Town Square Media here was the one that set that up for me last month. So
thank you.
Ben Anderson and crew did a nice job. Kudos, Mindy. You better be listening. And anyway, yes, my webpage has all the information to get a hold of us, including phone number, which is 736-3599 in Kenwick or 943-2999 in Richland.
Sounds great, Joe. Thanks a lot for coming in. And when we come back after the break, more about inspection contingencies.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here talking about some national issues. We touched on, holy cow, those low interest rates. Touched on that story a little bit. Talked about some insurance issues when listing your home. One of the things I really wanted to delve into today, it's been coming up a lot lately. I was talking to some other agents in our office, some other agents in some other offices. And there was just kind of a general feeling in the marketplace right now that some folks were really looking hard, and there was a lot of deals falling apart because of inspections.
Mm.
And so I kind of wanted to touch on that process, how that happens, what happens with the forms that we use, so that buyers and sellers were aware of that, and just kind of delve into that. So generally what happens when we write a purchase and sale agreement in our association here, we're using what's called Northwest Multiple Listing Service, state-approved forms. And the general contingency that is attached is what's known as the inspection addendum to purchase and sale agreement. And so what this does is that that is how buyers get the right to do a home inspection on the property. So one of the things I thought I'd go over is exactly what that language is, because it becomes becomes very important.
Mm-hmm.
So inspection contingency says this agreement is conditioned on buyer's subjective satisfaction with inspections of the property and the improvements on the property. Buyer's inspections may include at buyer's options without limitation structural, mechanical, and general condition of the improvements of the property. So there's a lot of very broad terms in that statement. And there's some specific terms. One of them, very specifically written for this reason, but broad in its meaning, is subjective satisfaction. And then later on, it calls out general condition of the improvements. So no, so when a buyer has an inspection time period like that, they generally, the generally accepted time frame, but it's a totally negotiable item, is 10 days. Most home inspections, residential home inspections, we try to get lined up and get a response from the buyer within 10 days of signing a contract.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens in there is that general condition of the improvements of the property can be, I mean, general condition. I mean, it could be wear and tear. It could be colors of walls.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is maybe a buyer has accepted a property in its condition to write an offer, and knowing what they're doing, but even if there's things that they see at the time of writing the offer, it doesn't preclude them for then during that inspection time period making the decision that what they knew about was too much of an issue for them to deal with. So what then happens is what kind of responses can the buyer make to that inspection response? So buyer's notice is the next paragraph, and it says that this inspection contingency shall conclusively be deemed waived unless within blank number of days after mutual acceptance of this agreement, buyer gives notice, and then it's 1, 2, 3, or 4. Now, what's very important about that for buyers to realize is that that sentence said, unless you act or give notice within those 10 days, this contingency is conclusively deemed waived.
Mm.
So if you miss your time periods, if you miscalculate the number of days, if you deliver notice on the 11th day or the 12th day and you haven't given any sort of notice prior to that, extending that time period or getting other experts' information together, then you're waiving that inspection. So that would not be a good situation if you as a buyer wanted, your intent was to cancel the contract,
mm-hmm.
and you missed that time period.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you delivered on the 12th day, say, and it was a 10-day time period, too late. You've already waived that contingency.
So you don't get your house inspection.
You don't get your home inspection, or it puts your earnest money at risk, depending upon that, or it could. So now the four options of how you can respond. One, it says approving the inspection and waiving this contingency. Two, disapproving the inspection and terminating the agreement. Now that's an option that a lot of times people aren't expecting, but we do see happen. Sometimes after an inspection like that, there's also a thing that's been studied a lot. A term that you hear and use is buyer's remorse.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when a buyer has purchased something, but then they have a feeling of, you know, a remorseful feeling afterward. Did we make the right decision? Was it really what we wanted to do? Well, what can happen, and this is the most shocking at times, especially I've seen very clean inspections where this has happened, and we've had instances of those in the last couple of weeks ourselves, is you look at an inspection report, it's very clean, a couple minor items, but based upon this contingency and this language, the buyer walks away. They just terminate the contract. And you and the seller are kind of standing there like, wait, come back. you know, what did we do? And so that is a hard, hard, difficult situation for all parties, agents, sellers, you know, and maybe even the buyer, you know, because, you know, who knows exactly what their situation is. And we don't always know because the notice you get, it doesn't give reasoning on the notice. It's, as we talked about, subjective satisfaction. And the box that is checked and the proper notice that is given is just buyer's inspection of the property is disapproved and the agreement is terminated. Earnest money is returned to the buyer. So that's hard because, you know, those are private conversations that sometimes the buyer has had with the other agent. You don't know if that's always communicated. It's not required to be communicated. It's just an option. So sometimes those are really hard issues to work through.
Mm-hmm.
Other times, maybe an item has been identified in the inspection that you can fix, and it does give you the opportunity to then fix it and then, you know, move forward as you look for another buyer. So that is option number two. Option number three is that the buyer will conduct additional inspections. So what we have is we have a clause built in to this agreement that says if during the general home inspection, a buyer, the home inspector says, gosh, you know what, there seems to be a problem in the roof, and some of the framing is deflecting, you know, in the roof, or it looks like there's some rafters that are split, or framing is deflecting, meaning it's leaning and not looking like it's supposed to. That could be one option, or it could be anything to an inspector saying that, you know, I'm not sure if these, let's say these footings were properly poured, or the roof, you know, gosh, the roof might only have 3 years of life left, but I can't tell because I'm not an expert. Well, if an inspector requests, say, an expert to look at it, then you have a negotiated time period of additional days to get additional inspectors out there.
Experts.
Experts in those specific areas that might be identified. So that's your third option, is that notification that you'll conduct additional inspections. And then the fourth option is proposing repairs to the property or modifications to the agreement. So maybe you are going to request repairs as a buyer. Modification to the agreement could be that you request a different price, maybe potentially based upon the amount of repairs you're willing to accept, but, you know, now you need to lower the price $10,000 to make up for it. That type of modification could happen. Once that happens and then you make the request for those repairs, generally then the seller has 3 days to respond to those requests.
Mm-hmm.
What that a lot of times will do then is give our sellers an opportunity to review the documents potentially of what was wrong with the house, maybe consult their own experts or contractors to see what they believe the value of the repairs would be. And then one of the responses is the seller then can agree to make all those repairs, maybe agree to the modifications. Or a seller at that time can negotiate, reject the proposals by the buyer, and maybe propose alternative remedies.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a buyer says, you know, I need these seven things fixed. You know, that's how it has to be. These are the seven items I need fixed. And a seller might look at that, get a bid, and say, you know what, we're trying to pack, we're trying to move. I don't have time to deal with, you know, these repairs. They're not major ones that will prevent the loan from going through. Instead, we're not going to fix those seven items, but we'll reduce the price of the house by $2,000. Or we'll credit you $2,000 towards your closing costs so you have additional cash to make those repairs. So many times then a seller might have additional proposals, and then it becomes back again, once again, the buyer's option to accept or reject those proposals. Generally, based upon our agreements, there's a 3-day window there that you have to come to terms with those proposals and modifications and then move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is, it's quite a process, and it really is a continuation of the negotiating. We are never feeling solid about deals until we're through that inspection response time period, because it is so subjective. And that's the thing is, you know, we always continue to keep the house marketed where we take backup offers. A lot of times agents will call us and say, why is this listed as still taking backup offers? And our general response is always, well, we're still waiting on inspection, and we're just never comfortable until we're through that period. So that's kind of one approach that we take to that. That is an explanation of the forms that we use to negotiate those inspections, and just a little insight to some of the different options that buyers and sellers have, because it's a big part of the transaction, you know, and so it's important to know our strategies and what we're looking at as we go forward with that.
Exactly.
I tell you what, the other thing we're looking at, McKay, is just a bunch of amazing property.
Pick three.
Pick three is here. There, we've put on some phenomenal, phenomenal new listings in the last week or so. And number one I'm going to start with, and with these mortgage rates that we mentioned, this would just be a phenomenal home, either for a first-time home buyer or someone maybe downsizing. I've got one of those just beautiful three-bedroom, two-bath Ramblers. It's out in Kennewick on Benton Place, 4925 South Benton Place. It's on about a third of an acre, so it's on a larger lot. Mm-hmm. This house was built in 96. It's 1,536 square feet. It's got upgraded, though, solid surface countertop.
Ooh.
So it's got beautiful, beautiful open kitchen. And then on top of all of that, it sits up on a knoll, and there's no house blocking the view behind you. It's got a gorgeous view of the valley out there in Kennewick. So amazing, amazing view. And this house is priced at $179,900.
Wow.
So just an amazing, very super clean Rambler with a great, great yard. Let's now take you from Kennewick over to Pasco, and we just listed a fabulous new two-story on Antigua Drive. So that's just right out there off of Road 52,
mm-hmm.
and it's 5007 Antigua. It's a two-story home, three-bedroom, three-bath home, and it's 2178 square feet.
Ooh.
So it's a large home.
Mm-hmm.
The owners, it looked brand new to me. I mean, this thing was built 07,
mm-hmm.
But they have kept it in just amazing shape. So very, very clean. Super nice flat backyard, RV parking on the
Ooh.
Side. You don't see that in all the lots out there.
Mm-hmm.
And this house, for that square footage, almost 2,200 square feet, is priced at $220,000.
Very good.
So that is an excellent, excellent value. And then back in Kennewick, in Creekstone, you saw these gorgeous homes on the Parade of Homes. If you've considered a new construction home,
mm-hmm.
We've just listed with Septon Homes a fabulous brand-new Rambler in Creekstone. So this is a four-bedroom, two-bath Rambler. It's at 1705 South Irving. Creekstone is just phenomenal with all the green belts, the walking paths,
mm-hmm.
Just an amazing neighborhood out there. You've got granite countertops, and then they did just a phenomenal, amazing covered patio, and it's fully landscaped. So this
Ooh.
Isn't one of those new construction where you're going to run into and the backyard's not done
mm-hmm.
and you're putting sprinklers. Literally, just bring a little bit of furniture and your clothes, and we can move you right into the
house.
I mean, move in ready. So that's 1705 South Irving, Septon Homes, beautiful brand new construction. So that's 2012 built, really just putting the finishing touches on it.
Wow.
If you'd like to see any of that new inventory, and there are a lot of amazing houses to look at right now, give us a call at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmorteam.com. And we're out there actively showing, selling, and listing property. And we'll be right back here to talk about more of those great properties next Saturday.
Right here on News Talk 870.